Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. I need to test the audio, seeing as though Buster spilled a freaking 40-ounce malt liquor on my computer at the party.
I mean, I didn't assist too much either, you know.
You're like, oh my gosh, the beer's pouring out. It's going into your keyboard. I'm standing right here watching the whole thing.
Hey.
If only someone would do something. Hello! Podcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, and I'm joined by a man who's so attractive, ladies everywhere love his dapper outfits. I know I'm lost on that one. His name's Leander Katie. Normally I prepare these ahead of time, but ad-libbing obviously isn't working so well for me today. We're also joined by Buster Heine, another man who's so attractive, ladies everywhere like his outfits. Buster, you there?
Hey. Yeah.
That might be my best intro yet. Welcome to the show, guys. Really glad to have you here. And what a show it's going to be. We're going to be talking about some iPhone rumors again. We have an all-new Tips Ahoy, which we haven't done in a while. We'll be giving you a hot tip on how to use your computer better. We're going to be talking about the Amazon Fire TV, at least for a moment. And before we hop into all that good stuff, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, new sponsor, New Relic, the all-in-one application performance management tool that lets you see performance from the end-user experience right on down to the line of application code. Put simply, New Relic helps people who build modern software understand the stories their data is trying to tell them. If you are an application maker, you should check this out. Head on over to newrelic.com/cultcast and you'll get a free extended 30-day trial. And I also want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show. Treat yourself to a brand new website with the help of Squarespace, a drag and drop, do-it-yourself site builder with everything you need to create an exceptional website. Head on over to squarespace.com to start your free trial. And if you like what you see, you can save 10% off your order. Just enter code CULTCAST at checkout. Thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring this show. Guys, I'm not surprised that I'm a little cloudy of brain after our huge CULTCAST party that we did. I think we're all a little bit cloudy after that event. And I want to thank everyone who came out and supported us. We had a packed room, and we had a lot of fun. Leander, did you have fun?
Tons of fun.
I think you had too much fun. I had too much fun. Buster, did you have fun pouring that beer all over my Mac?
No, I did. It was glorious.
Buster, at one point in the night, just got straight crazy, and he thought he was in a Dr. Dre video and just shook up a beer and sprayed it all over me and my computer. Is that an accurate portrayal of what happened, Buster?
Pretty close. Yeah.
But seriously, at some point in the night, when we were doing our live show in front of this ginormous crowd of people, I look over and there is a beer gurgling, laying on its side, just spurting beer onto my MacBook Pro and my iPhone. It's a good thing my iPad wasn't there.
That was one of the people there. He went to get us all drinks and he had so many. When he tried to put them down on the table, he dropped one and it went on.
We had so many bottles up there, was part of the problem.
Point,
it was a chain effect.
Yeah, it really was dangerous. And at some point in the night, I mean, people would just kept bringing us drinks. They just kept going to the bar and bringing us drinks. And we weren't even asking for them anymore. I think we asked once. And it looked like a college dorm room by the end of the night. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for sure. So if you guys came out and supported us, thank you for that. It was great meeting all you guys and taking pictures with you and signing copies of Leander's book for you as Leander. When people ask me to sign your book, Leander, I just signed it as you.
Okay, good.
So
cool.
There's some really just inappropriate stuff that people are going to look back and see your name signed against. Anyway, let's go ahead and jump into the show, shall we, guys? It's right after April Fool's Day. I thought it'd be fun just to let you guys know that no, Apple did not buy iFixit.
Oh.
Did you guys hear this rumor?
Yeah. No,
well, by rumor, iFixit just came out and made an announcement that they had been purchased by Apple. And it, of course, exploded all over the internet because everyone was so surprised. Did you guys at any moment believe this?
No.
not even for a second.
I mean, the problem with the April Fool's jokes this year is, like, they're coming out on March 31st now, too. And so I get, you know, it makes it too easy to know which ones are fake.
I feel like every year. Huh?
Do they put theirs on a day early?
The iFixit one didn't come out a day early, but one of the Google ones did, I think.
What was the Google one?
They did a couple. One of them was the Pokemon Maps one.
Okay, didn't see that. Oh, wait, no, I did see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it funny?
I thought it was actually kind of cool. I wanted somebody to make that into a game. It was like an augmented reality game where you can go outside and, like, scan for Pokemon and catch them and stuff.
Cool. There's another one that I saw where this company had released a selfie bot that just followed you around. Dude, I'm sorry, but if you believe this one, I mean, this has got to tell you it's April Fool's. It's like this robot drone that looks like Eve from Wall-E and just follows you around and takes pictures of you all the time. I swear every year I tell myself I'm not going to fall for any April Fool's jokes. And then, you know, you fall asleep. And then you wake up on the first and you see these huge news stories and you're like, oh my gosh, freaking iFixit got bought by Apple. Those lucky jerks.
Oh, you really thought
no,
that was
I didn't.
True?
I didn't. But we had several people tweet me and they're like, what? Can you believe this? And for a split second, I pondered and I was like, no, actually, I can't believe it. I don't think this is real.
Did anyone report it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw it. It was reported everywhere.
Really?
Yes, I saw a ton of journalists report on it from all these different websites. We didn't, did we?
No, we didn't cover any of the April Fool's jokes because they're stupid.
if there was
a really good one, maybe.
Yeah, it would have to trick you too, probably. I saw one on a popular Apple website, and they just kind of did a roundup. Actually, I think it was Mac Rumors. They did a popular April Fool's Day roundup. And in the comments, they had said something along the lines of, we do not report on April Fool's, you know, jokes. You know, we try to keep this site newsworthy, so on and so forth. In the comments, somebody reported, gosh, you guys seem like you'd be really fun at parties. like, yeah. anyway, happy April Fool's to everyone. Hopefully you got tricked by something. Buster, we wanted to start with some Samsung Apple legal drama for your mama, right?
That's
right.
You want
to tell us about, because we got some more coming out.
Yep, they're going back to the courts. Samsung and Apple, they're going back to the courts for another U.S. trial over 5 patents that Apple says Samsung violated. Mm-hmm. It's stuff that they say Samsung ripped off, like search, being able to search anywhere in your iPhone. Also data synchronization. And then there's also like linking inside of text messages, like to your calendar, you know how that happens, like if you put like a time in there.
Sure.
So they're suing for $2 billion. It just kicked off
another $2 billion, huh?
$2 billion. Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. Phil Schiller took the stand yesterday. He really didn't say too much. Mm-hmm. So they're hoping like Friday maybe he'll release some iWatch info.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll divulge all of it.
There was one part where Apple really they asked Judge Koh to keep some documents sealed because it would reveal their plans for the future. So, you know, maybe something interesting could come out later this week. But so far, it's kind of been like a rehash of the first trial.
Exactly, where they sued for $2 billion, or they got awarded $2 billion, right? I don't know what.
$1 billion.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that this had ever stopped in the first place. I just feel like they're always all suing each other.
Yeah,
and we just stopped reporting on it because it just is always ongoing. So it reminds me of that great Thai was it cartoon that listener Graham sent us on Twitter, Buster.
Oh yes, yeah. the origins of the
the
Samsung
origins of the
logo.
Samsung logo.
That one,
Graham Critcher, by the way, full name. And hey, Graham, how's it going, Governor? And it was the apple that, you know, Apple's apple icon, and then that bite that's there had like the piece fall out, and then it was like floating to the ground, and when it got there, it turned into a Samsung logo. That was a popular post on Cultimag too. If you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. Super funny. Okay, so ongoing legal drama. Let's move on to something that I think is probably a little more interesting, at least for me personally. iPhone 6 rumors. You guys want to talk about those a little bit?
Okay.
Apparently, we've talked about before, and we've heard a lot of rumors before, that we're going to see a 4.7 and a 5.5-inch iPhone 6. All unconfirmed, of course. These are all just rumors. But apparently, Reuters is reporting that though the 4.7-inch iPhone is starting production soon, the 5.5-inch version is actually hitting some snags in production, and we may not see that until several months later. I thought this was really intriguing because if they're going to delay it, they can't really delay it by 3 months, right? If you're not going to release both iPhones in September, you have to wait until the next year, right? I mean, they can't release a 5.5-inch iPhone 3 months after a 4.7.
If they announce them both at the same time, I don't know, possibly. I don't think they can get away with announcing one and then 3 months later, and we have a 5-inch one too, you know?
Doy. Yeah, I didn't think about that. You're right. So they would probably announce it, and then it wouldn't be available for like several months.
Yeah, it's not the first time. Like when they did the Retina or the new IMAX, those weren't available for like two and a half months after.
Right. For major production issue reasons.
So it's possible. I think it would be a pain because I would probably want the 5.5-inch one.
Well, that's the one I would want too.
Yeah.
Leander, if you had to choose between the two, which would you pick?
Oh, the bigger one for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Although, if they make the smaller one, you know, it's going to hurt the sales of the smaller one, I would have thought, right?
I would too. Yeah, exactly. Because everyone's going to be on hold for the larger one. I think that everyone's going to buy the biggest iPhone they'll make.
Yeah, I know everybody says that they don't really care if there's a bigger iPhone, but I think the 5.5-inch one would be a huge.
Yeah, right.
Everyone says that until Apple releases it. Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, it's exactly what I wanted.
Same thing with the iPad. Oh, it's just a big iPod Touch, and then it's huge, you know?
Yeah. I remember before the iPad came out, and I was like, if they call that thing the iPad, I will never buy one, right? Because I thought that name was so terrible. I was so adamant about it, just like I am about everything that makes me mad. And then it came out, and I was like, ah! I think I audibly made that noise.
Yeah, there you are, first in line.
Just kind of squealed a little bit. We also got a rumor that, well, actually not a rumor. This was a patent application that came out that showed Apple might be considering changing the casing of the iPhones, that you could put like an Apple sanctioned lens on there and kind of hook it on there. Yeah. So you could just kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, like an auto clip, like one of those external lenses that you could put on, but it would be built into the case itself. This was recently patented, but who knows if we'll actually ever see this come to light, because we hardly ever see these patents actually ever go anywhere. Leander, were you trying to hop in there?
Yeah, you do afterwards, but it's kind of they patent everything, right? Every idea that anyone ever has, and it's only in retrospect you can go back and look at them and say, oh, okay, you know, that was an important patent because that's what led to that. You know, if you look at the stream of patents, I mean, it's really hard to predict upcoming products from the patents, but it's easy to identify, you know, what they. You know, the features when you look back,
and maybe see that they were inspired by a patent or something like that.
Well, no, I mean, you know, they're, like I said, they're patenting they're patenting everything they can. You know, patents are, you know, they're not very good for predicting the roadmap, because they patent all the ideas, all the different things they make, even if they're never going to go anywhere, and they know that. You know, they patent everything that they think is original.
Gotcha. Just in case they want to use it down the road.
Right, precisely, and it's often actually just, you know, a way of you build a. You know, it's actually a strategy in itself. You build a patent portfolio that you can use as a bargaining chip with other big companies.
And I guess it also protects you in case you do decide to use the technology and some other company, you know, comes up with a similar idea.
Right,
it protects
exactly.
You from getting sued.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Not that I want to get into a patent conversation because I think those are long and dull. But in this country especially, I think we need to fix the patent system because it just feels like everyone's just always suing each other. I would kind of be scared to start a technology company, quite honestly, because there's all these like really vague patents that you see that are out there that describe something that pretty much every device on the planet does. Like I have a patent for connecting to a, you know, Wi-Fi network, and it's like that's a bad example, but, you know, really common functionality. And then
Amazon's one-click shopping.
Yes, great example.
But Yeah, and it's totally broken. I mean, because look what's happened. You know, Apple patented the iPhone up the wazoo. And, you know, seven years later, Samsung's selling more, quote, iPhones, unquote, you know, than Apple is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been through the court system twice and nothing has really been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is a really cheap way for Samsung to get into this market.
Yeah, right. Just kind of do what you want. And then when you get sued. Remember, we even talked about this in a previous show where Samsung's lawyer in court basically said, hey, look, we're not saying that we didn't violate this patent. We're saying that we think Apple's asking for too much money for the violation.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that conversation? So he's just like, yeah, we did it. We just don't want to pay Apple what they're asking. We want to pay them less.
I don't know.
And then, I don't know, all the Samsung devices that they're suing about now are no longer, like, sold widely. So I don't feel like Apple gains too much from this patent suit either. You know, it's not like they're asking for a ban on Galaxy S5s. They're all asking for, like, 3-4-year-old models now.
So, oh, really?
Oh, really?
I think it's kind of a little bit of a waste of resources in some ways.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that you'd care about banning a 3-year-old, 4-year-old Samsung phone.
I'm sure they would love to argue that the S5 should be banned as well, but that's not going to happen.
But aren't they? Isn't Google getting pulled into this one, whereas they weren't before?
Yeah, that's what people have said. Even yesterday with Phil Schiller's questioning, they tried to ask him about Apple's holy war against Google. You know, because that's kind of what Samsung's argument is, that Samsung is just getting hit hard from Apple because Apple has a knife to grow or axe to grind against Google.
Really?
Yeah, that's Samsung's argument, is that really that this is just against Google, you know.
Interesting. See, we're getting drawn into a patent conversation, so let me back us out of it a couple steps. I want to talk about some more iPhone rumors, but before we do that, I want to thank our friends at New Relic, who wants to invite you to take a minute to say, big data, anyone? Thank you to all the data nerds out there building all this great stuff that we know and love. This shout goes out to the developers, the geeks, the code jockeys. I like that term, code jockeys. To those brave few who see things differently. I see what's going on here. High fives to all you rule breakers and disruptors. Here's to those working knights, to wearing oversized concentration-enhancing headphones upon your furrowed brows. We thank you. The entire internet thanks you. What's really cool about New Relic is that they help everyone's software work better. And nowadays, if you're in any business, you are in the software business. That's because software powers our apps, runs our databases, manages our accounts, and runs e-commerce sites and email programs. When software breaks, everybody loses. New Relic helps you improve your software performance so your users have a better experience and your business is more successful. How's that for a win-win? To all of our software developers out there, if you're ready to make your software run better, if you're ready to make your business run better, I want to encourage you to check out newrelic.com. That's newrelic.com/cultcast. And you're going to get a free extended 30-day trial. I want to thank New Relic for sponsoring the show. Let's see here. One iPhone rumor that we forgot to mention before we move on. There were some alleged iPhone images that showed a slimmer body and a protruding camera on the backside. We talked about this in previous rumors.
Yeah.
I think these images appeared on a Weibo account. Do you guys know what Weibo is? We've talked about it 100 times before. I've actually never checked it out. What is it?
It's just a Chinese microblogging site, kind of like a mix in between Twitter and Facebook.
Okay. And is it technology oriented, or is it just like anyone anywhere could use it?
It's just a social media place.
Okay. So okay. And apparently it's anonymous, kind of like Reddit or something, because we keep seeing images posted to this site. And they look to be legitimate, and they look to be from the floor of a Foxconn factory. But then again, these got posted on April Fool's Day, right? So who knows if these are actually real or not.
Did they get posted on April Fool's?
I thought they did.
I don't think so. I think they were the day before.
On the 31st?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, because I did it.
Oh, because you posted them on Weibo. Well, if you haven't seen the images, they make the iPhone 6 look significantly thinner than the 5S. We've talked about how that was a possibility before, and it featured an all-metal rear casing, and it also had the protruding camera lens found on the iPod Touch. So these are all rumors we covered, I think, several episodes ago. And I don't know if I believe these or not. I kind of think having a protruding camera on the back of an iPhone seems strange. I don't foresee Apple going that direction.
Why?
I don't know, because they're into like sleek products, and even though they did this on the iPod Touch, you know, the iPhone is the device they don't cut corners on.
Exactly. So even though they've done this before, I can't see them ever doing it.
Yeah, I know. I can't see them
doing it on the iPhone.
Well, I think it's definitely something they would do, because the camera lens is one of the few, like one of the things that dictates, you know, how shallow they can make the device and everything. Right. So if they can make it just a little thinner so it feels sexier, then I think they would do it. Also, that patent that we were talking about earlier with the attachable lenses.
Yeah.
The camera lens would have had to protrude out for them to screw onto it. So I don't know. Who knows? It could definitely be real, but they're really crappy camera shots.
Yeah, they didn't really. I wasn't really impressed at all. They didn't show very much at all. In fact, it could have been an iPhone 5S.
Yeah,
just photoshopped a little bit.
Or just, you know, somebody playing around, you know, with a those machines that make the stuff, you know.
Like a
CNC machine.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Who knows? But if you saw the images online, I'm sure you'll agree. They didn't look that convincing. So nothing too solid there. But we always bring that kind of stuff up because we know that you guys like to hear it. Hey, guys, let's do an all-new Tips Ahoy! We haven't done this in a while. I doubt you guys even remember what this is. Do you, Buster?
No, I didn't even know we had a section called Tips Ahoy.
Leander, this is the section where we're going to need the kids to leave the room. No, I'm just joking. You can stay. This is the section, we haven't done this in forever, but I found a really great tip, so I thought I would share it, where we share computing tips so you know, you have a better computing experience on your Mac. This one was on Cult of Mac, and I've been looking for something like this forever, and I didn't even know this was possible. So have you guys ever wanted to just get rid of all the icons on your desktop? Just boom, get rid of them.
Yeah.
But you don't want them to be gone forever. You just want to hide them. You know, in case you have something there that you don't want people to see, or, you know, it's just getting too cluttered. So this tip will hide all the icons on your desktop. But when you want to bring them back, it's really easy to do. Now, I will warn you, if you've never used Terminal before, you're going to need to use Terminal to effect this tip. So if you never used Terminal, now's a great time to try it, because I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do. So you open up Terminal, and here's what you're going to type. Listen very carefully. Defaults space write space com.apple.finder space create desktop. Make sure you capitalize the C and the D on create desktop. Space false. Okay. Then you're going to hit enter. And then on the next line, kill all, K-I-L-L-A-L-L space finder. Make sure you capitalize the F on finder. And when you hit enter again, you're going to see all your icons disappear. And you're going to have a much cleaner computing experience, at least for that day. And should we tell people how to reverse it, or should we just move on? Everyone who just tried it?
Yeah, like, just move on.
Anyway, let's just move on, guys. Well, it's really easy. As you probably deduced, if you want to reverse this effect, when you hit create desktop false, just change that to create desktop true. And then do kill all finder again, and it will put the desktop icons back where they used to go. This is a really great tip on Cult of Mac. Leander, we do these tips weekly, right? Or are they more than weekly?
We do tips every day. All the time.
Yeah. Are they every day? Okay.
Yeah.
So if you guys are looking for more great computer tips, you can always head over to cultofmac.com and check them out there. Guys, could we talk about Amazon for a moment? We don't normally talk about Amazon, but they released a new product today that we have talked about on the show before. This is called the Fire TV, and it looks to be a Apple TV competitor, and it actually looks like it's pretty cool. Buster, Leander, any thoughts on the product?
Oh, it looks like a solid Apple TV competitor.
Yeah. Although, what I think is really interesting is Amazon Instant Video, which is a service that we have in the U.S., and I think they have it in the U.K. now and in Germany, and they're expanding to other countries. Has a ton of free content. It's essentially a Netflix competitor. Have you guys ever used it?
Prime? Yeah.
Yeah, Prime Instant Video.
I have, like, you get it with your Prime subscription, which I have, but I never really use it.
Oh, you haven't. Oh, it's really great. They have a ton of good content on there. I would say it competes with Netflix. Right now, actually, they have the entire, I think it's the entire season of Star Trek The Next Generation in full HD. That show was converted to HD entirely. And so now you can go through and watch the entire thing again, but like actually have it be high def. They've got that on there. So my point is Amazon actually has a lot of great content for people to consume. And so I think for most people, especially if they don't have like a ton of Apple devices in their household, this is going to be a really attractive option for them. And I also heard it's going to let you play video games.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a controller, $40 controller.
Is it actually a video game controller?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty good too. People said they liked it.
Huh. I wonder if people will actually take up video games on their television, because you guys heard of the Ouya, right? That's not doing very hot.
Well, that's what some people have said. This is kind of like a nice option because it condenses the Ouya into like Amazon's thing as well.
So you have like both the TV experience and the...
Yeah, and the Ouya. And the like Apple TV and a gaming console and cheap gaming console in one.
You know what I was just thinking? They should have had Randy... Macho Man Savage do the commercial for Ouya. Where he busts in and he just goes, "Ooh, yeah." Although, God rest his soul, I think he's not among us anymore, right? Didn't he die in a car crash
a couple years ago?
Oh. But if he was still with us, that would have been the best tech commercial of that year. So I'm obviously not going to buy one of these because I've got enough stuff that connects to my TV already. In fact, I have no more HDMI ports. But attractive option to you guys? Would you guys be interested in maybe connecting one of these to your TV?
Personally, no. Just because I have an Apple TV, iPhone, iPad, and Mac. But
yeah, that's all?
Yeah. Right.
Don't you have an Xbox?
Xbox too, and maybe an Xbox.
If you have like a Kindle, though, I can see it. Yeah, being like a much better option than a Roku player or the Chromecast, which I think really is what it is.
Well, Amazon, you're right. Amazon Instant Video is great. I think it's a better catalog by far than iTunes. Often if I want to see like an older movie and I can't find it, it's in Amazon Instant Video.
Yeah.
And as a Prime member, if you have the Prime subscription, you get all this stuff for free. I'm sorry, you get a lot of stuff for free. And there's actually quite a lot of good TV on there for free.
Oh, it's their TV catalog, I think in some instances is even better than Netflix.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong. Can't you play it on your iPad and then AirPlay it to your Apple TV?
Oh, if you can, I should have been doing that for a long time.
I believe that you can.
I think you can too. But I can't remember. You know,
because they have an Amazon Instant Video app, so you would be able to do that.
Dang.
Well, the app didn't support video for a while. I know that because it didn't work. But I think they updated it so that it does.
But here's the thing about mirroring is, I mean, unless you have a really robust network, mirroring is always crappy. I mean, it creates a really bad experience unless you have a good router or your router is near where you're streaming from. Because, you know, that HD video takes up a lot of bandwidth. And so I've had problems with it sputtering and stuttering. And you guys have never experienced that?
I do, mostly because I keep my router inside like a metal locker box in the living room.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then I just, whenever I'm mirroring.
So your roommates won't steal it?
It's just because it looks cleaner behind that, like having all your junk inside, you know. But so whenever I'm like going to AirPlay something to my Apple TV, I always have to remember to go unlock the box so it'll look much better.
I have seen pictures of that unit that you're talking about. It looks like Buster has the locker room of like a high school inside his house, which goes great with his Letterman's jacket. So that's actually pretty cool. Anyway, definitely worth mentioning Amazon Fire TV. Oh, $99. We didn't mention that. So same price as an Apple TV, and the hardware specs look like they're pretty decent.
Much faster than the Apple TV.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly looks like a good product. We'll see how it works in actual real life scenarios. Because, you know, the Kindle Fire, I mean, that had a lot of hype around it before it came out, that color tab Amazon released. And I've heard a lot of bad things about it. Although I have actually never used one myself.
The Kindle Fire? It's actually pretty nice.
I've heard that Kindle Fire HD?
Yeah, the Kindle Fire HD. I heard that it was, the controls on it were not very good. Like the touch controls didn't work very well. Have you used one, Leander?
Well, not the HD, but I had the original Kindle Fire.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of complaints early on, but they did an update and it fixed it.
And it got exponentially better.
Yeah, I think it was a software glitch in the first, but you know, that was a couple of years ago now, 3 years ago. So I don't know what the latest ones are like. But
how old is the Kindle Fire? Is it 3 years old?
I think it is, yeah.
Holy moly. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty, you know, it's a respectable tablet, and it's a lot cheaper than an iPad.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the thing that, you know, Amazon has and that Apple doesn't, again, is the streaming catalog, right? And we talked about this, I think, a show or two ago about how Apple really needs to have, like, a Spotify for iTunes. They also need to have, like, a Netflix for video.
Yeah.
Because even though people buy video, a lot of people just want to stream it. They never want to own it. And they don't want to pay $5 to rent a movie. They just want to have a streaming service that they pay for, 10 bucks a month. I don't know why Apple just doesn't add this. Have like Apple Instant Video or something where you pay Apple 10 bucks a month like you do Netflix, and then they can just stream all that stuff to your Apple TV. Wouldn't you guys pay for that?
Well, I mean, you know, I wanted to rent this, you know, if you want to rent a movie like Goodbye Lenin that I heard about in San Francisco, it's going to cost me $3.99 on iTunes, or I can buy it for $14.99, or I could just go stream it over on Amazon Prime. I think Apple definitely needs to make it cheaper somehow for you to just view it once.
Right. And, you know, when you rent it, you only get it for 24 hours.
Yeah, even a 99-cent rental for 20 hours on everything would be better than their current model.
Yeah, I agree. I always hate paying onesie-twosies. I'd rather just pay, like, a flat fee and get all the
access. But, yeah,
but look at Netflix. You know, like, there was an Onion headline the other day, right? Netflix adds movie that people might actually want to watch.
That is a good point. They have a lot of crap on there.
And, you know, because they can't get, it takes, I think it's like 7 years for them to get a new movie because of all the windowing, you know, like right. the movie studios, like it's in theaters and it's on pay-per-view and airplanes. And then, you know, then you can rent and buy it. And then you can't get it on Netflix until that is up because they don't want it to
very
compete.
True. Exactly.
So it's crazy. I mean, like, you know, it's not Apple's fault or anyone or Netflix's fault. It's the movie studios and their licensing deals.
Yeah. They don't want to give you streaming content to the stuff that just comes out.
Plus, yeah, you know, can you really see Apple, like, you know, getting deals with all the movie studios to offer everything for a dollar? <You
know? laughs> No, come to think of it, I can't.
Or for free, you know, like, I don't think, no one's going to open up the movie industry, the movie, you know, on-demand industry to Apple like the way that iTunes did. Because they create this, you know, super powerful one-stop shop that no one would be able to compete with.
I think they distrust Apple.
Oh, honestly, totally. Yeah.
And they should, because I think Apple is more consumer centric.
Yeah.
So they really don't mind screwing your business over if it's better for their customers.
Well, it's, you know, Apple, the same with the iTunes model, right? I mean, they set up iTunes to sell more hardware, to sell more iPods. And Apple, you know, could set up, I mean, in an ideal world, they'd set up an awesome streaming service to sell you more Apple TVs or more iPads. And, you know, of course they win because they're selling the hardware where there's a lot of profit, but then the media providers, you know, don't. They get squeezed.
Get screwed.
Yeah.
Squeezed, screwed.
It'd be nice. You can always get... Did you download that popcorn app that Alex Heath wrote about?
I didn't know.
Yeah. It's good. It's the same problems with, like, AirPlay mirroring, like Airfon's saying. Is sometimes it's, like, a little bit... has some latency issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? But that was, you know, it's a torrent client, right, that starts playing movies as soon as they start to download.
Yeah, it's awesome. It has like the whole UI. It's just movie posters. Whichever one you want to torrent right now and watch, you just click on it, and you know, in just a few, it's like a minute, it's ready to play. Sometimes even.
You said it's torrent based.
Yeah, it's all torrents. Yeah, so
you're literally just streaming this illegal content from the peers on your on the internet.
You're streaming it. Yeah, as you're watching it as you're downloading it on.
Man.
It's awesome.
I bet you get everything, right? Screeners, stuff that's in the movie theaters right now, you know, that's been shot with a video cam.
Yeah.
New releases, everything that's been out on DVD.
I felt like some of the selection wasn't the best, but, you know, I mean, it's an awesome tool. Any of the new stuff, like all of like the new Oscar movies are all on it right now, you know, before they're available to rent.
Well, that's what's messed up with the media universe, isn't it? Because, you know, here you have something that's illegal, and I'm sure you and I would happily pay, like I said, a whopping $10 a month.
I would happily pay 25 cents for a brand new free movie.
Well, how much do you pay for cable TV? I mean, like, if I could ditch my cable
I don't pay for cable TV. I just have internet only.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
But it's really expensive. I mean, it's overpriced. And, you know, without going into too much of a rant about Comcast, it's like, what can you do about it, really? And the people who aren't savvy enough to be able to pull content from, you know, torrents or something are going to pay for those services. But there's probably a ton of people. I kind of wonder how much content is actually just stolen, because people that would pay for it just feel like it's either not easy or it's too expensive and they don't want to pay for it. And I'm not making any judgments. I'm just kind of just saying, I think, what happens. And I kind of wonder how many movies, like when a movie first comes out and people buy it, I wonder what percentage of sales or of potential sales are actually just stolen on the internet.
Oh, I think
it's got to be high.
I mean, you think of like, I don't really want to go see 47 Ronin in theaters, but I would like stream it, you know, and maybe fall asleep to a crappy movie once in a while. And where like they're missing out on those sales where I could at least give them $2 instead of just taking it. But
yeah, they should drop the price. They should have like a tiered price structure where it costs less to rent it. But hey, guys, before we move on, because I want to talk about I work for iCloud since that got an update. I want to talk about Microsoft Office for iPad. And then if we have time, we're going to try and cram in a conversation about Facebook buying Oculus Rift, because that happened last week and we wanted to talk about it, but we didn't really get a chance with Macworld and all that. But before we do that, I want to thank Squarespace.com for sponsoring this episode. You guys know that I love Squarespace, and if you need a brand new website, you definitely need to check out Squarespace.com and have a drag and drop do-it-yourself site built exactly how you want it, all without having to touch any of the code. That's because Squarespace lets you build a website without actually coding yourself, and you just use their drag and drop interface to create the site that you want. You can choose all the colors. They have a bunch of great templates to choose from too. And best of all, a free mobile experience is built into every template. So no matter what device visits, you're going to get a great looking website. Squarespace is always updating their website templates as well. And I was just reading their blog. If you are going to be starting a store with your Squarespace site, which, by the way, they have an excellent e-commerce store that you can start up there, and it makes everything super easy to set up. When customers visit your website, they have an announcement bar that's built in now, so you can set up an announcement. Maybe you're having a sale, you're going to be doing a discount code, and you can make that announcement appear right at the top bar, so when your customers visit your store, they'll see it right away. This is something that usually takes a lot of coding with a custom website, and Squarespace builds these kind of features in for free and makes them really easy to use without any coding at all. It's just another one of the reasons why I love Squarespace. They're always innovating and adding new features to make your website look better. And of course, you can also build a blog. You could build a gallery for your photography, or if you're an artist, you could display your art there. Go check them out, squarespace.com, and try it out for free for 2 weeks. You don't need to have a credit card. You'll be up and running in no time. And if you like what you see, you can save 10% off your order with the code CULTCAST at checkout. Thanks, Squarespace, for supporting this episode. All right, guys, let's continue. Hey, just FYI, Leander had to hop off. He had to go to his juggling class. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Major juggler. That Leander can't.
He's going to be the court jester.
He's going to be the best court jester for the queen. The best one she's ever seen. You should see his outfit. It's very elaborate. It has the bells coming off the hat and everything. He's been taking stilt walking classes. He's going to be her favorite jester. Buster, before we wrap up, though, I want to talk about iWork and then Microsoft Office for iPad. And then I do want to talk about Facebook buying Oculus. So let's just hop into that.
Okay.
Well, let's hop into iWork first. So this week we got an iWork update, a major one. Apparently, or an iWork Online, I should say, update. Those of you who use iWork Online, you're going to notice that we got a flatter iOS 7-inspired interface. So looks a little bit more minimal.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to share read-only documents now, and you can open iWork documents from iCloud Webmail. And then there's a ton of cross-app improvements as well. And I was reading that you can open or you can edit charts from numbers in Pages now. Did I miss anything, Buster? Any big ones that I missed?
Dude, I'll be honest. iWork, I didn't even look at it when that announcement came out.
It's not
that exciting.
Not the most exciting to me either. But I still thought it was worth mentioning. And I always kind of use Google Docs. Is that what you use too?
No, I usually just use TextEdit when I have a Word when I need to write
Really?
Yeah. I don't do any fancy word processing or Excel sheets, so I'm really not good with Office software or anything. But I think it's interesting. Apple's making, you know, the Mac version look a little bit more like the iOS version, so that they'll play better together. I'm maybe so to take on Microsoft Office a little bit, or to be more competitive with it.
Maybe because we got an Microsoft Office update as well. We talked about this last show that this was going to be coming out. So Microsoft did release Office, or an updated version of Office, for iPad. And from everything I've been reading, they actually did a really good job with the interface, and the interface has really taken good advantage of the iPad screen. So they've packed a lot of features into the iPad versions. But here's the thing. So from my understanding, the Microsoft Office apps are only really useful if you want to read the documents. So you can use them for free, and you can read Excel documents, you can read Word documents and PowerPoint documents, but you can't actually edit them or create new ones unless you pay for a Office 365 subscription, and that's when you actually get to create and edit documents.
Yeah.
So for me, I kind of feel like this is pretty limited for most people, because if you had to choose between using Office for iPad or using iWork, which is free, or using Google Docs, I should call it Google Drive now, for free, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? You're going to use one of the two.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder how many people are actually going to use the Office software for iPad. And then the other thing is, you're not a big Office user, so maybe you're not the right guy to ask about this. But can you imagine like typing a report in Word on your iPad?
No, not at all.
Like who wants to do that?
No, you would want to like go do it on your desktop.
Yeah, right.
And then maybe make a few, you know, editorial changes later on your iPad, you know.
That's why the typos. Sorry, yeah, I totally agree with you. Like the Office suite for iOS has never really made a lot of sense to me, unless you're going to be viewing documents, because I think it's kind of kludgy to do data entry on an iPad, and I think those devices were built for content consumption and not creation. I think that's pretty apparent once you start using it. So to have all these powerful features at your fingertips, I kind of wonder how many people are actually going to use them, even people who use Office in their day-to-day workflows.
Yeah.
You know, that seems kind of weird. And if you really were production heavy on a tablet, maybe you'd rather get like a Windows
laptop.
Or a laptop. Yeah. Or I was gonna say a Surface tablet.
Yeah.
That actually does excel a little bit more at those. It actually comes with a keyboard. So there's that. Anything else that we should mention about iWork? Oh, I was gonna ask you one question about iWork before we move on. You said you don't really use it that much, but to those people listening, I'd be curious to hear your opinion on whether or not you actually use iWork online, because I'm with you, Buster. I never actually use it. And I was reading an argument, I think on an Engadget thread, and people were arguing about whether or not they like iWork or Google Drive better. Uh-huh. So you're not the guy to answer that, since you don't really use either. But to our listeners, would you tweet me at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, and let me know what you think? Because I'm kind of curious to hear why people like either and which ones they prefer. Okay, Buster, let's wrap up with a story about Facebook buying Oculus Rift. Because when we heard this, we were both kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Super weird. For those people that don't know what Oculus Rift is, it's kind of a 3D experience for your face for video and video games. And it was started 2 or 3 years ago, and it had a ton of buzz. People were really into it. They said this is probably one of the best virtual reality experiences they had experienced. There was a lot of buzz, and it seemed like this company was going to get bigger and bigger and start selling these products for you to watch movies on your TV, to play video games on. And then Facebook bought Oculus Rift. I just wanted to hear your opinion, Buster, on why would Facebook want a company that sells hardware like this? It seems totally wacky to me.
It does, right? You know, I've heard some good arguments for why Facebook should buy Oculus Rift. Mostly, like, Facebook seems obsessed with buying companies lately that it thinks could be, like, basically supplant Facebook in the future. And so from like Mark Zuckerberg's, you know, statements on it, it sounded like he sees like Oculus Rift becoming like its own platform. Like you want to go hang out with your friends, you put on your Rift headset and yeah. you guys just like you watch a game together, even though you're, you know, in different parts of the world, which could be cool, you know, for like to make you feel like you're right there with your friends and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as the gaming aspect of it, you know, it's a little bit weird because Facebook games suck. But I think
I don't think that anyone really even I was going to say people don't really play Facebook games anymore. That's not true. But they've definitely had their heyday, right? Remember Farmville? Everyone used to play.
Wars,
yes.
Mafia Wars.
Exactly. And now Zynga, the company that made a lot of those games, is like having a hard time even staying in business.
Uh-huh.
So it's clear that people aren't playing Facebook games as much as they used to anyway. I just thought this was totally bizarre. I mean, this is like wacky bizarre. Because hearing the scenario that you just described, I'm like, really? Are we going to have a social network in our Oculus Rift virtual reality headsets now? Yeah. And we're going to sit there hanging out in different places on Facebook?
Which
I mean, I just don't see it. It's very weird.
It is. It is. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's definitely the way it should go or will go. But,
yeah.
You know, when you think of virtual reality in the space of gaming is kind of limited to just gamers. Whereas if you open it up as a whole like experience platform beyond just gaming, it just is going to bring in so many more users at the same time, too. So I think it would have some definite value outside of the gaming space.
Yes, I think that's very true. What that's going to be, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Because I just think this is absolutely insane. I heard this news and I thought it was a joke.
Did you see the huge big black goggles on somebody's face, you know, like when they're using it? I've never used one myself, but you have a hard time thinking that, oh, that's the next wave of social is putting these huge goggles on your face.
It's like in the 80s, right? When people would wear those and like they would like go hang out with their friends and watch movies and stuff movies. Like,
you're going to have Oculus dates and stuff.
You're going to have an Oculus quick dating service.
That's going to be awesome.
I don't know. I don't want to see my Facebook wall on my Oculus Rift, but maybe that's just me. And of course, the other side of the story was because avid gamers were so excited about this, because I'll admit, like, I was really excited to use this for iOS games, for Xbox games, for watching movies and that type of thing. I was kind of like, gosh, I wonder how Facebook is going to change all of that, because I know that was something that Oculus was really heading towards with the Rift headset, and now it's kind of all up in the air. In fact, the founder of Minecraft said that they were thinking about developing a version of the game for the Oculus Rift, and when he found out Facebook bought him, he canceled it right there because he was like so creeped out by it. He was like, I don't get why this is happening. Facebook, I think he literally said Facebook creeps me out, and then he canceled the Minecraft version of the game. So there's a lot of gamers out there who are kind of apprehensive about this. And though it may not directly affect people who care about iOS and Apple stuff, it was going to be a really cool gaming experience for iOS. And I know they were definitely headed that way. Hopefully they still are, because you guys know I like to flap it, and I can only imagine doing that on the Oculus Rift. It's just going to be all the better. Agreed, Buster?
Yeah.
Yeah, flap it. Flap it on the Oculus. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cool cast we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know what? If you want to come hang out with us on Twitter, that would be awesome. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, Buster's B-S-T-3-R. Leander is L. Caney. And, of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the cool cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the cool cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys next time. Next week. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. I gotta go. Like 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. You have to go.
I gotta go. I gotta go and just sit here. And not actually go anywhere.
I was just reading about how some protesters vomited on a Yahoo bus.
Oh yeah,
in protest.
Wait, they went inside okay. and vomited in it?
What's no, that? All over the windscreen. They climbed on top and then vomited.
What happened?
there were some protests against the tech buses.
Yeah, you know,
the Google buses, and then some protesters climbed on top of a Yahoo bus, and then one of them stuck his fingers down his throat and puked all over the windscreen.
Oh my god. He probably went out for like a big clam chowder lunch before that too.
Well, it's all green.
Yeah. It's all green.
Oh my. But then they wouldn't. So then, I don't know, they freaked out. So they Yahoo sent a whole new bus. Instead of just turning on the windshield wipers.
It could have been that much puke, though. I mean, it's one person, right?
Yeah, but who knows what he's been doing? I mean, it's so weird that, I mean, it's kind of strange. There's some pretty funny pictures on Twitter of these protesters. It looks like a lot of fun, actually. It's kind of a good idea because they're getting, you know, they're making it look like it's fun.
Yeah. Until somebody pukes on your bus.
Well, the puking
sound strategy, though.